Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. A shorter day of daily editorials today as it is May long weekend here in Canada, and coming up next weekend we have a holiday down in the US on Monday, so a couple, I guess, shortened trading weeks for North America, but I know that the Canada holiday today, well, we still have US markets open, it's just a lot of the junior miners are not trading, at least in Canada. I am chatting right now with Ed Moya, senior market analyst over at Oanda. Ed, we're going to jump around to some of the markets that are moving today, one being the US dollar. It's a slower day for the dollar, but the dollar is slightly down, and the dollar is under that 90 level on the dollar index. This persistent, in a way, weakness, but not a crashing dollar. The dollar has been weak, but again, seems to be trending right in around this 90 level. Ed, what do you think about the recent trading in the dollar that has been leaning towards weakness but hasn't been crashing?
Yeah, it's fascinating. I think we've seen some broad risk appetite. That's what's really been driving like today's dollar weakness. I think you're probably going to notice that with the euro, that upside is it's starting to run out of momentum. There's a lot of call options. People are eyeing that 122, 45, 50 area. And that's, I think, going to be a key price barrier for us in the short term. I think that, you are starting to see, though, across, let's say, some of the commodity currencies, like the Aussie and the Kiwi, there is a lot of momentum there. I think the gains are alongside with the offshore yuan. And what we're seeing is, there's a lot of real money and option interest that is growing into the commodity space still, despite I feel that commodities have had quite the volatility these last few weeks. And I think that you're still starting to see there is that, super cycle belief. There's this belief that too, the Fed is still going to be the last major central bank to really tighten and raise interest rates here. I think that you're probably, when it comes to the dollar right now, everyone's just focused on inflationary pressures, and I think the market, they've evolved on their stance. There was a couple weeks ago we had a good debate, transitory versus persistent inflation. Now the market, when you take a look at where the 10-year treasury yield is, it seems the market is starting to believe that, okay, it probably will be transitory. And that's providing, I think, the lion's share of some of the moves we've seen in treasuries. And I think the dollar, it should be on the back foot with a lot of these commodity currencies, but there are some risks brewing. And I think, for the dollar, I think the one commodity call that I'm kind of going back on a little bit is on oil prices right now. I think that we have too much risk right now, two-way risk for oil prices, that we could see an exaggerated pullback here, depending on how the Iranian nuclear talks evolve. I think that there's a big question mark as far as how, right now the market's pricing in 500,000 more barrels of crude from Iran, but if there's a greater deal, Matt, or more supply that's allowed to come on board, market's not priced in for that. So I think there could be a little bit more risk here for oil-related commodities. So that's one of the key ones that I'd be looking at over the next few weeks as Iran and world powers, they've extended their inspection deal another month. Last time they did it for 3 months, so the pressure's on to get something done over these next few weeks. So I think that's price action we should closely pay attention to.
So Ed, back to the US dollar and outside of what might be happening in the euro. And I realize the euro is a key driver for the dollar index because of how much it's weighted within that dollar index. But what do you think is going to drive future dollar moves here? Since the dollar is in almost a 2-month long downtrend, is it going to be inflation data? Is it going to be comments out of the Fed? Is it going to be market moves broadly in the US? What do you think are the key contributors here?
I think the biggest contributing factor right now, the Fed is right now focused on the labor market recovery, and yes, everyone is expecting this surge in prices. You know, the prints are going to be hotter. I think, you know, at the end of the week we get the PCE readings, and no one would be surprised if they match the hot prints we saw with CPI and PPI from last week. So I think you're going to probably see that right now. Everyone is going to be focused on that labor market recovery, because remember, we did see a very poor reading this last go around. So I think that if the labor market recovery starts to pick up, and there's a chance that I think the 266,000 jobs that were created at that last non-farm payroll report that stunned markets, and we're now, I think the expectations are over 600,000, but there is a chance that you could get a couple of hot labor market readings. I think everyone is having trouble processing all the employment data we get. I think that the fact that the jolts and these job openings, they're not being taken advantage of, but other metrics are supporting this labor market recovery. So if we start to get higher, I think, job numbers here, I think you're going to see that's going to be the possible catalyst to reverse course here for treasury yields. And I think that, there's probably a good risk here that we could have some upward revisions from last week's or last month's disappointing employment report. So I think everyone's going to be focused on next Friday's labor market number. And right now, I think everything that we're getting, the Fed regional surveys, I mean, they've shown some weakness here. So I think the growth outlook, it's already, coming, it's losing some speed here. So I think the recovery is still strong. I think, no one is doubting, a robust second quarter, but I think the markets they're going to be fixated on the labor market recovery, because that will really dictate, how much longer the Fed will remain ultra accommodative.
So Ed, simply looking at the dollar chart on on the dollar index, look, that 88 level, let's say 88 to 89 level is critical, because you go back to the low in early 2018, the dollar bottomed out at 88.15, and the recent low back in January was 89.17. Now the dollar's very close to that 89.17 level. How critical is it for the dollar to hold this range, the 88 to 89, and do you think it will?
I think over the course of the next couple of months, I think we're going to probably see downward pressure went out here. I think there's just too much of an optimistic view where the recovery potential in Europe is just too great right now. And I think that looking at the vaccine rollout improvements, I would, lean towards just anticipating just some further downward pressure here. The problem is the ECB is going to try to push back on that. So I think it's going to be a very choppy trade. But in the end, I think you're going to see, at some point in these next few weeks, there will be a decent dollar rebound. But in the end, I think we're going to still push much lower based off of longer term driving factors.
So does, further breakdown in the dollar, if it does break below that 88.15 level, does that support or truly just simply benefit the commodities? Especially you look at stuff outside of the precious metals, like the base metals, those have slowed a little bit. They were in just a euphoric run higher, but have since slowed a little bit. Does the U.S. dollar support these in a higher move or just support at current prices?
I think the weaker dollar will just provide some underlining support here for those commodities, but in the end, I think that there's just too much of a. I think the question marks are what's happening in China and their crackdown on these commodity moves, and I think overall, when you take out some of the leverage out of some of these speculative moves, I think that will really allow for that type of. The price action we've seen over the past couple of months really provide a consolidating period here for some of those. But in the end, I think that we're still going to get more infrastructure spending. We're still going to have, I think, fairly robust demand in the U.S. and across Asia, and that should support the commodities, I think, over the next couple months. But I don't think it's going to be anything like what we saw, from the earlier part of the year. But the upside is there, but I think it's going to be a lot harder to come about, especially in these next couple weeks.
All right, Ed, let's also talk about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies broadly, but Bitcoin more particularly. It continued to fall this weekend, is rebounding a bit today, but it was down in the $30,000 range, and that is, well, it's 60-70% off of its highs of just over a month ago. It's been a fast move down for cryptocurrencies and especially Bitcoin. Do you think a bottom might be in here for Bitcoin?
Ooh, that's the most debated question right now, especially across social media channels. And I think what was interesting was that over the weekend, the consensus that I could get out of a lot of these retail talking heads was that everyone thought we were going to see another massive move lower. There was this belief that anywhere from 20 to 25,000, that was going to be the bottom. That was the retail's perspective. So naturally what happens, well, we saw Bitcoin, rebound well ahead of those levels. I think that you're starting to see that there's this greater uncertainty with the regulatory side. China's crackdown, it seems that is a record they just play over and over again. But this time there is some Chinese Bitcoin miners that are looking to move operations. I think that you're going to see a lot of transition here with where Bitcoin is powered. Right now it's still heavily China. Almost three quarters of it is done out of China. But I think that right now the institutional flows, they're just this is I think a 1 to 3 year investment for a lot of the institutional players. And, I think that they've been buying on this weakness. So I would anticipate that you're going to probably see, I think the volatility is going to remain extremely elevated over these next several weeks. But I think that prices will still probably settle between that 40 to 50,000 range. I think that's going to be where you're going to probably see some consolidation. I think a lot of people, until we hear from the U.S. on what their crackdown is going to be, and there's a big event happening this week with CoinDesk, their consensus. It's a 3-day event. We've already heard from Fed member Brainard, and I think there's some more clarity that we're going to get, I think, from this Fed paper later this summer, that the digital dollar and what that will mean for cryptos. And it's something that I think people have to acknowledge, that Bitcoin and the other top coins can, I think, accommodate some of the requiring changes that will come down the road. So there's a lot of, question marks, but I think, there were two big strikes against Bitcoin. It was the environmental concerns and the regulatory ones. The regulatory ones, I think that is something that can be addressed. The environmental ones, it will take some time, but I think, moving the power consumption to renewables is definitely possible. And when you take a look at what happened with Ethereum and their massive network upgrade, they were already working on that. And I think that you're going to start to see some more stability or some easing of those environmental concerns. So I think that the volatility is so wild right now that I don't want to say that the bottom is in place, but I'm still anticipating that we'll consolidate above that $40,000 level for probably a couple months.
Ed, what about just general interest in the cryptocurrencies? Because quite frankly, because of their volatility, I do think that it draws in more investors, and the younger investors continue to look at cryptocurrencies. Everyone's saying, you know, after a crash, then people are going to be afraid of cryptocurrencies. Is that true? Do you agree with that? Or is this volatility just simply keeping people interested in the sector?
It's one of the more factors that I think does not get talked about. And with the new traders on Wall Street, I think, you know, if you see the stock market, you know, drop 10%, people are panicking, at least the new investor over the last couple of decades, with my experience. With cryptos, if it drops 20%, it's like, oh, maybe we got to buy some more. It's like the mentality is entirely different. I think that the collapse in 2018 it normalized this volatility for a lot of people. I think that the long-term belief is so strong for cryptos that I think it allows this new trader to just feel confident that, you know, we could you know, crash to 20,000, and that is a very attractive buying opportunity. That's the mentality right now for a lot of retail people. So I think that if that's the belief, and I think everyone is thinking this is your investment you hold on to for years, they're able to stomach these moves. And it's interesting to see that they apply that with Bitcoin, they apply it to Ethereum and Cardano and some of these stable coins, but they also do it to a lot of those speculative dog emojis, Dogecoin, Shiba Inu. So I mean, the retail trader is just their confidence is it's relentless for these cryptocurrencies. So I mean, that's very dangerous. I think with any type of speculative asset, you need to have some type of risk management in place, or hopefully you secure profits along the way. I think you're right to point out that they believe long term in this, and that's why they're able to stomach, you know, these collapses of over 50% down from the record highs.
Yeah, Bitcoin and cryptos, I guess, really have built this loyal following, because we have seen these crashes. And look, there's still a lot of people out there that seem to love cryptos no matter what they're doing. So you have that built-in audience that can continue to drive prices in kind of wild ways. Ed, thanks for taking some time on this Monday. I'll chat with you again next week. Probably not on Monday because it'll be your holiday down there, but we'll find a time next week to discuss what's moving these markets. In the meantime, Ed, have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.